This is The Morning Drive Show.
We're continuing with the Adoption is an Option series, and in studio with me is a gentleman by the name of Robert Wallace. Robert, good to have you on Impact 103's Morning Drive.
Morning, Birgitta. Thanks. Good to be here.
I think this is so special because the listeners won't know that you and I actually went to primary school together.
Yeah, just down the road, yeah.
Down the road, Leinstancia Primary School. And then I went to Girls High, Pretoria Girls, and you went to Pretoria Boys.
Yes.
Just down the road. Amazing. But it still took how many years to get together?
That's it. It's weird how life is like that. I think I don't want to give our age away, but at least 15, eh? At least 15 years.
At least. I thought it was 10, Rob. Anyways, you have given away our age. It's all good, all good. We are so appreciative to have you in studio today, and it's just amazing how God orchestrates these things, because yes, we're on Facebook friends, and I've watched your journey with your wife, and it's such a special journey, and we're going to get to that. And that journey just being the fact that you have formed a family, and what a beautiful family it is. Yeah. And just to witness and love on social media, and now get to love on radio as well. Let's start at the beginning. You and your wife.
Yeah.
How long have you been married now?
That's a good question. 2016.
Am I going to get you into trouble?
Yes.
Okay, all right. 2016.
So it's 2016. I always have to work it out.
It's about 8 years.
Yeah, somebody 8 years in October.
Okay.
And we did get married a little bit older. As the typical, and then so sort of soon into our marriage started the family planning. You know, we had to be realistic.
You had that conversation about having kids.
Yes.
Right. And you are unable to have kids?
We're able to, from a medical perspective. You know, there's nothing showing that that we can't have kids. But we decided, and I don't know how the conversation came about adoption, but we realized both wanted to adopt. For various reasons, but we decided, okay, let's start trying for family. So we just started the paperwork first together with trying the biological route. So we sort of started at the same time, and we said, whatever happens first, then that's great. So it turned out, and it was actually about 9 months, coincidentally, the whole paperwork process until placement. So we went to an agency, and we met with a social worker, and we went through all the things. And then that did happen first. So then we, you know, obviously put the biological thing on pause, can I say. And it just happened. And it was just for us, he's such a blessing, Levi, our eldest. And then got to a point where we wanted to, you know, you want to have a second.
A bigger family.
Yes. And you want a little friend or a little brother or sister. So we did the same thing, and then after a couple of months of discussing with the medical situation, my wife, it's a long story, my wife has certain medical reasons that then put her more at risk, so we said, okay, let's just leave that now. Over the age of 40 at this point, let's just not try have a first biological child of all the conditions we have, let's just adopt again. So our second was more from a medical perspective, but...
So you got two sons?
Two boys, yes.
Two boys. All right. What are their ages now?
3 and 5.
3 and 5. Levi, how old was Levi when he arrived at your home?
About 8 months old.
Incredible. Yeah. So basically, almost a newborn, not so much so, but I mean under 1 year.
Yes,
the two of
baby.
You. Please tell me about that day. Tell me about the day that you saw the photo. Sure. And you got to see, and tell me about the bonding process. Tell me how... Let's start with that, and then we'll do the journey about you bringing Levi home for the first time.
Yeah, wow. So I think that's a great question, because the mindset typically could be, oh, wow, you'll struggle to bond. And in all honesty, we can get to that. My second child, I did struggle a little more. But with Levi, so we kind of did the nesting thing, you know, while we were waiting, you start preparing a room for him and start thinking of names. And at a point you don't know whether, you know, the sex of the boy or if it's going to be a girl or a boy. And when they eventually do send you a photo, at that point it's going to be quite soon. And they give you a couple of weeks, when they've matched you, and then you go and fetch your child. That was quite a special process, just preparing the room and getting everyone excited, our whole families, and everyone was excited with us. So when we actually did fetch Levi, when the place of safety parents call them, brought Levi out, Cara just burst into tears mm-hmm. immediately. So I was sort of standing closer to where they were coming from, and I was watching them, and then they were walking, and then I could see that in their face something was a bit, they were all not uncomfortable, but they didn't know where to go. So I looked to my right, and their Cara was in a ball of tears. So I just, okay. So I grabbed Levi, and so I got to hold him first, and the Cara immediately was just overwhelmed with emotion.
The reality of that. She has a son that she gets to bring home. Was there bonding sessions that you had with Levi before, or was it photo and then pick up?
Photo and then pick up.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if all agencies do it like that. I think potentially with older children, you might go visit a few times. But for us, we had sessions with a social worker, and then she would get to know us. And then that she would, her job is to, and she's Christian as well, so she trusted the Spirit in guiding, but her job is then to place a baby with a family that she feels correct or appropriate. So that was the first time we met him when we fetched him. It was, in a lot of ways, that's like a first, like a newborn. I felt like we had no idea what we were doing. So I had a car seat, so I'm trying to figure out how this car seat works, and poor Levi, I think that's quite a... I think that's quite an experience. We can speak to that a bit later.
Yes, I'd love to know. I'd love to get to that point. But let's also find out now, a couple of years later, now baby number two arrives.
Yes, now we know a bit more what to expect. And I guess from a perspective of lack of sleep, late nights, that sort of thing. We tried to prepare Levi, so that was a slight challenge. There's no sort of tummy. There's no pregnant tummy that we can point.
So there's no story coming along as to why mommy's tummy is getting bigger.
Yes.
Because there's a little baby that's developing. And so it was more of, I'm guessing, a conversation of preparing him that a friend is going to be arriving.
Yeah, we would speak about Buti, and I can't remember. Cara's better with this sort of thing if we have had selected a name already at this stage. But I suppose we would speak about Buti. We speak Afrikaans at home. And when he arrived for Levi, was 3 at that stage. Well, not even 3. It was quite a, you know, you can think it's an adjustment for any child, and it's quite a difficult thing for him to have gone through. But he handled it so well. And Luca, we could see visibly a bit more nervous. Weirdly, he's more expressive.
So more anxiety.
I think it was more visible anxiety.
All right, interesting.
So it does.
And how old was Luca?
Also about 8 months.
Interesting. So I couldn't even talk yet, but you could experience that.
Yes. So looking back now, you could see in the photos as well of his face, his huge eyes. it seemed very scared, and you can understand.
Mm,
you can
the understand circumstances.
It. But Luca, our youngest, is actually He's the more sort of outgoing, the bubblier one now, as their personalities grow. And he's a little chatterbox and very boisterous. so that also, you know, God has got healing, and we'll see later in life who can go through some sort of counseling and trauma counseling and that sort of things to see if there's anything under the surface. With Levi, that sort of thing is now more obvious, and he's older. Playing out in a different way, so that's more visible for us, that we can support him in ways that we can try get him to play therapist, and that's something that we can educate ourselves again, that the play therapist helps us to understand certain things around the traumas that they can experience and how we can support them in it. So it's been an interesting journey.
For yourself, it sounds like you and Levi bonded pretty well together. You and Luca, a bit of a challenge there.
Yes, I don't know why that is. I do have a friend at church who had a biological son, and I was grateful that he shared with me he struggled with bonding for the first couple of months with his son. So that made me feel a bit more, okay, this is normal. It isn't a weird thing. I don't know, maybe it was just the lack of sleep that I saw. Maybe it was the...
It could be. I think women tend to just realize they're just not going to be sleeping for the next 5 years, yes. And they're just prepared for that. For Cara, was it a different experience for her in terms of bonding with each of
yes.
the sons?
For her, she it's like immediate. For her, there was immediate
nurturing.
And it wouldn't affect the way that I was towards either of the children, either of our boys. I just was aware that for some reason that something hadn't clicked for me. But now, I mean, obviously, close as anything.
Yes, absolutely. Well, yeah. we can see that. And Rob, for both of the boys, let's start with your oldest. How was the bonding from his side towards you and Cara? I know it's 8 months, but... Was it easy? How's it growing up at the moment? Is it easier? Can you see a difference?
Yeah, that's an interesting one with Levi. At a younger age, I think he seemed to adapt very well and he did bond very well. Getting older, there were certain things, indications that seemed to be that he was struggling with connection. And now having spent time with a play therapist, it could be... they speak about neurodiversity now, so it's possible ADHD, ADD, maybe on the autism spectrum. So there are things that indicate that he does struggle with connection anyway. And so we do probably have to work a bit harder with that with him. I don't know whether that's anything to do with the adoption trauma or not. You can see this sort of thing in biological children too. But it is something that we work harder with Levi. Often with his connection, and so as connection or bonding or just that feeling of being safe and not having to be anxious and that sort of thing.
And it's something that's, like you say, whether you are a biological father or if you are adopting your child, it can be experienced. It doesn't really matter. I'm gonna bring the race thing in. I mean, you've got two beautiful black sons,
yeah.
And for you, I'm sure we know that love has no color. How's that been from a cultural point of view? Do they integrate into your family, or are there things to consider?
Sure. Now that is it's a very good question. I think the reality is, especially where we say in Pretoria, the chances are if you do adopt. The likelihood is much higher that you will end up with a black child, which is awkward for them, I think, growing older, because it's visually obvious. So they're confronted with that adoption and they can't hide it in a way. But that's the only real challenge in a sense. Other than that, it's awesome. I think the the poor guy clicks the day I got Levi. I got home and then I do a quick stock take of what we have and I realize I think I don't have the right sort of hair equipment at this stage. I don't know how
products.
The products. I kind of run off to Clicks and I'd say to this guy, listen, I have a black boy, but I don't know how to comb his hair. I don't know how to brush it.
It's ridiculous. It's a real question. It's a real question.
So you have to learn so many small little things like that. And then from a cultural perspective, I think at the beginning, especially, one is very aware of it, and you're aware of the stares. It's normal. People, you stand out a bit. And I think the challenge there is to not parent differently because of what you think other people are expecting. So we're being very intentional, but then after a while you get used to it and sort of the stares just become second nature. But I think from their perspective, Luca is not yet aware. Levi is aware that he's different. So he in his vocabulary would say to us that he's brown and that we're white. And sometimes, shame, he says he wants to be white like us, but it's not a racial thing. That's more of a thing. He wants to be like us, you know.
Identity.
So that's where our play therapist has helped us as well with vocab and how to give him some vocab in that. So we just say to him, look, Jesus has made him that way and us this way. And we also say to him how it doesn't, our families can look different. So it doesn't mean just because he looks different that he's not part of it. So we try and celebrate our differences. And then we also then find things that are the same. Because it's good for his identity that he can have that identity in his own differences. But then I can say to him, look at my hands. Look at your hands. You've got such strong hands, just like Dad. Or we can say, you've got brown eyes, just like Mom. You know, So there are little things that we do to try and help him understand that, like you said, that identity. And it's not grounded only in the color of his skin. And so we just try and help him to celebrate that. And celebrate is maybe a strong word at his age. Just embrace it.
Luca is how old now?
3, Luca.
All right. So that is, well, you'll see. I think there's also going to be a bond between the two brothers as well, where they'll have that form of similarity, yes, if I can put it in that sense, just some common ground, yes, rather, to say. And like you say, it's a journey, and it's an exciting journey, and it's an adventure with you and your wife, Cara. And it's Father's Day coming up on Sunday, and I thought it was just so appropriate to have a dad come and talk to us about the Adoption is an Option series. For yourself, how has being a father impacted your life?
That is a very difficult answer to kind of narrow down to one thing, but I think that sense of selfishness, I think God has worked a lot on that. I think just being able to spend time in the way I used to or would like to. There's a lot of hobbies that are now parked. So in that sense, I've had to work on my own selfishness and live life and spend time with these two. From a personal perspective, being quite an introvert, I find it challenging because there's no off time, there's no time away. You know, it's 100% at home, 100% at work. So that's tricky, finding those times. But at the same, it's also been awesome. It's also been amazing to see these kids respond in a way where, wow, daddy, you know, I don't know how to explain that feeling, that that sense of responsibility and that sense of they look to me, and it's a really awesome experience that I can experience this with them, going through life and helping them know how to navigate certain things. It sounds, I'm being very vague, but I do like that idea. And the way that I can impart parts of who I am and my life experience with them and help mold them into followers of Christ and men. And I do enjoy that.
Robert, I really love your honesty in that question, because you said that it's made you unselfish. And you've also said that there's a lot of things that you've had, that you want to do, that you've had to park. And I like the word that you used, park, because it doesn't mean it is a definite no. It just means not for now.
Yes.
No for now, not forever.
Yeah.
And maybe what you want to do, you could do as relationship build with your sons going into the future, just as a time for the age appropriateness of it in that season.
That's exactly right. I think, we were just chatting off air now about your dad having done Comrades, and it's something that I always wanted to do and then hadn't had a chance or hadn't pushed myself to do at a younger age. So that is something now that I can foster that with them. We can go running together, like you suggested, to park runs, and then they can grow up in a family where dad is spending time with them in this way, that we go running together. So that is something that hopefully I can pick up as we get older. Potentially I can have an opportunity to do Comrades with them when they're older. So it's definitely something that picking up some of the hobbies again with them, like you say, that is a beautiful idea. And one's body, I'm realizing my body is not the same as what I have in my mind. So there are challenges in that, but it's definitely something I'm looking forward to with them.
Robert Wallace, thank you so much for joining us on Impact 103's Morning Drive for the Adoption is an Option series. It's so wonderful to have you in studio just to share your honesty with your journey. And it's been a beautiful journey to witness. That's all I have to say from an outsider's point of view. And I think your life and Cara's life as parents to adopted children, two of them, has been really special. I love just to see how your heart is for God, and now you are impacting a future generation by taking in two young children, and it's going to speak volumes in decades to come. But I really appreciate your time on Impact 103.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Impact 103 Morning Drive.